I'm just having fun seeing everybody this morning. Are you having fun seeing me? Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. If you're not, just lie anyway. You know, so. Okay. Here we go. You ready? Hope I am. Title of this message, God's plan for happiness and success. And this circuit, one little message can't take care of everything, but we're going to look at some things to help you be a little bit, hopefully, happier, more successful. He does have a plan. And, you know, I'll tell you one thing that God didn't plan. He never did. He did not plan for all of us to walk around, you know, like this was our last day on earth. And that seems to be, it's something that's caught. You know, it's not really taught because scriptures don't tell us to be just gloomy all the time and sad and down. And I pastored churches until this church. The churches I pastored, I try to make jokes. I try to do something funny. Anything. And I couldn't get a laugh. Nobody would clap for anything. You couldn't get anybody excited or it, and it was like, I'd be just as well out there in one of the cemeteries, you know, just standing there, you know, they're dead out there, they're dead in here. And so, you know, and I'm glad that you experience life. You know, if you feel like you want to clap about something, do that and enjoy the Lord. And it's like people just sit and act like it's the last day on earth. No wonder people don't want to go to church like that. You know, they sort of, you know, self-perpetuating. You know, they have their kids and the grandkids and they all stay in the church. But, you know, you go to a place like that and nobody's smiling. And I've had some folks, you know, that come in and they've said to me, you know, I need a place that's more quiet and dignified. And it's like, you mean you need a place that's dead? So go find you one. They're everywhere. You know, but we don't want to be dead. We want to be happy and alive and successful. And so, God wants you to be joyful. He wants you to experience some happiness. We have enough rough times as it is, so why not be happy in between? And, you know, and I'm just saying, I just want to ask you, you know, are you happy? I mean, do you really enjoy God? And I want to ask you this, do you enjoy God and do you enjoy life? And a lot of people don't. It's like, I like God. Oh, that's great, you know. Yeah, I love the Lord. Well, I'm glad to see you're so excited about it. You know, and that's the way a lot of people are, and that's it. And it's like, do you like living? And I've had Christian people say to me, God doesn't want us to enjoy, you know, we're supposed to enjoy Him, not to think. It's like, why did He create it for then? I like enjoying the things out here. You know, I can't climb as many mountains as I used to, but I still like climbing things, and I still like sticking my head in places out there that shouldn't be put into. But I still take my flashlight, and if I find a hole in the ground or a little cave, I'm crawling up there looking. Of course, out where I live, I pretty much know what's going to be in one of those caves, and they start rattling, so I know to back out. But, you know, they live in there quite often. But the point I'm trying to make is, what in the world has happened to us that we think we can't enjoy God, enjoy living this Christian life? Because I tell you what, it throws enough at us to be hurt about. I mean, you're going to experience losses. You're going to experience things that are traumatic. Stuff will happen, so why not try to be as happy and joyful as you can in between? And I want to use Philippians as a base for this, you know, and I started it in Philippians 3, verse 12, and let me give you a little up before we get there. I should have put it all in there to start with. And Paul was saying, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of sharing His sufferings and so forth. And he said, I want to know everything I can know about Christ is what he was saying. And then we break into verse 12, and he said, not that I've already obtained all this. You need to let that sink in. I know you've heard this stuff before, but have you thought about it? He said, I want all these things. I want them really bad. But I haven't obtained them. And I haven't already been made perfect. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He said, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, I'm forgetting what is behind and pressing on to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ Jesus called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So listen to this. We look at Paul and we think, look at all he did. Look at all he accomplished. Look at all the epistles, all the stuff he wrote. Look how God used a man. And yet he is openly confessing here that he hasn't obtained all these things that he's even writing about. What he's saying is, God put this in my heart. I write it down for you. It's not me, it's the Lord. But I haven't attained all of it either. So for all of you who feel like, and you keep waiting for the opportune moment in life, that, you know, everything, all my little ducks are lined up on the pond, and every little I is dotted, and every little common place, and all in my life, the right place, right time, the timing, and all that, then I'm going to launch off and do whatever it is. And how long have you been waiting to do that? The time will never be just right. Everything won't be just perfect. You know, I grew up in a farming ranching community, and that's what my dad did and everybody around us. And I'll tell you one thing about farming. You took the best day you could get. You sure didn't wait for a perfect one. You put the sun, you know, you broke up the dirt and you chiseled it and you plowed it. You chiseled it up, then you plowed it, and then you harrowed it and smoothed it out. Then you ran your drill across there and the big old box drills and put the seed in the ground, and then you covered that up, and you did the best you could. And you did it in between weather, stormy weather, you know, and it might rain, and then you're waiting to do your fields, and as soon as you could get out there, you got in them. And you got after it, and you worked all day long till it was dark, and that was the life of that. There was no perfect day to do it. And if you waited for that, you'll never get it in the ground, and you'll never have anything. And we had to grow a lot of hay. And we just had to put it in when you could put it in, and you baled it. And we didn't own all that land. I wish we would have. But he and many other person out there worked for an oil company, and they owned all this ranch land. So we were kind of sharecroppers, I guess. And, you know, they provided you a house and all that stuff. But it was a great way for me to grow up anyway. And you know, but as far as the farming, I learned a lot about that. And when the hay would come off, and you got the hay up so high you couldn't let it come to a head, or it'd be stemmy, and you want the cows to eat the dried leaves. You don't need all this agricultural thing. But point being, there was never perfect days. It was always windy, or too hot, or too cold. And we've been out with the cattle, and some of you have done this, you know what it's like when you had to take an axe and break the ice all around the stock ponds because the cattle couldn't drink. And that's a freezing nasty job. I hated it. And so we, you know, Dad liked those old fireman type axes because they were weighted on one end. But yeah, you had to chop the ice because the cows had to have water. And you did that on every day when it was in the winter. So there was never perfect days to do anything. And so I want to say to you, why are you waiting for perfection? Let's just get up and do it. We keep waiting, you know, when I learn enough scripture, when I hear enough messages, it'll never come. And look at a person that we, you know, admire, and that's why he's taking his example. We admire Paul for all he did, and he says, well, I haven't obtained all this stuff I'm writing about. I'm writing it because it's God's will. That's what God wants. And what he's trying to show us is I'm just a servant. That's all I am up here. If anybody thinks I've achieved all this, I haven't. I was just reading through Proverbs, you know, and one of them kind of just raised up, and you know how some scriptures would just rise up and just bite you. And one of the Proverbs, I was reading the New Living Translation, and it was just so blunt. You know, and I didn't like it, but it's true. And it said, watch your mouth and keep your mouth shut, and you'll not get into trouble. And I thought, boy, the New Living Translation just right in there. But I thought, how many times have I wished I'd kept my mouth shut instead of all the trouble that was caused because I just had to say my piece, if you put it that way. Well, I just need to say my piece. There's no peace after you say it. You know, and I read another one. Yeah, soft answer turns away wrath. So let everybody let that sink in. A soft answer turns away wrath, and keep what you know. It's, you know, watch your lips. Keep your mouth shut. And it's like that's blunt, but how true it is, right? How many? Don't all of us really? We just kind of like that last little snarly word. You just. I got to have the last one. And that last one usually turns into many more. And it's like, just let it go. Soft answer turns away wrath. You know, all this stuff. And I was reading that and I was thinking, Tony, in what you do, you really have to struggle with that. You know, there's many a time I have not wanted to have a soft answer. I didn't even want an answer at all. I just wanted to do something violent. And haven't you? It's like, I don't want to speak. Now's the time for action. You know, and yet God is saying, no. Keep going. And so what I'm trying to say to you is, you look up here, and I don't want anybody putting me on a pedestal because I am a man called to do a job that's far beyond me. And if you put any other minister on a pedestal, you're making a serious mistake because only God deserves to be on the pedestal. They're all people, and they can look so good on TV. I have people comment all the time, oh, did you hear whatever? And it's like, no, I didn't listen to that. And it's like, well, you should. And it just the way it comes across, and it just makes me feel so good. And it's like, yeah, and if you saw that person's personal life, you'd be sick to your stomach. And if some of you hang around me for very long, you'd come back out here saying, he's got a long way to go. If you're with me when I run up on one of those rattlesnakes, you would be saying, oh, he's got a real long way to go. I'm serious. I don't live in fear of snakes, but they're not my buddy. And if I run on one, I'll say to him, I've had one or two. And I read this article, by the way, in a co-op magazine, and this guy was saying, don't harm the rattlesnakes. They're our friends. And I thought, yeah, I walk out and there he is on my porch. And I'm saying, hi, buddy. You want me to go catch you a little mouse or something? You got to be kidding. And he was saying, you know, we don't need to. I agree. Out in the pastures, they do their little thing. But if I find one in the yard, I'm sorry. But all of you who want to protect them, it's too bad. They're going to snake heaven. Because if he's in my backyard today, he'll be on my porch tomorrow, and the next day he'll be stretched right across the step when I open the door, not thinking, and step right on him. And so it's not going to happen. So you're saying, so what's your point? None of us are perfect. And the man that God used to write this material was far from perfect. And so get that in your head. God uses imperfect people to accomplish his perfect will. This message is intended for everyone sitting here saying, I'm just not good enough, and you torture yourself. I can't do it. I can't get up there and say a prayer. I can't get up there and speak. I can't. Why not? I have a message coming soon in the next 2 or 3 weeks on all the people that God's used, and a good bunch of them, and all their weaknesses and how God used them in spite of themselves. And God can use you in spite of yourself. He said, I haven't obtained all this. I haven't been made perfect. He said, I just learned one secret, though, that many of us don't have. And he said, you need to learn it. I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He said, I don't quit just because I blow it. And we're going to use him, Paul, in an as one of our people we're going to look at in a few weeks, at his temper. And it might surprise you to find that he had a falling out with his very best friend. They got an argument. Here's the guy telling us about, you know, control your temper. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and all that. And he blows up and wrecks a friendship. Why? Because he's human. So take heart. You're not alone. You're never alone. That's our first point. Take heart, you're never alone. Everyone in this room has strengths. You have a strength. Everyone in this room, you're good at something. Some of you are good at so much you make the rest of us feel kind of bad. Some of you can just figure numbers. You can paint. You can cook. You can barbecue. I don't barbecue well. You know what my problem in barbecuing is? I put it on and I want it done in 37 seconds. And it comes out jerky. I have trouble waiting, and then when it starts smelling good, I want it to be ready right now. Some of you paint. Some of you lead people. You manage, you administrate, you do all kinds of things. You keep records. Whatever it is, you're good at things. There's a lot of things you can do here. You're good at it. I'm still trying to figure out some of you. You know, why don't they let me know what they're good at doing, what they're gifted to do, so we can, you know, that'd be their ministry and what God wants them to do, some ministry team. You have strengths. You see what I do. I mean, all of you get to see me up here, and you get to see, you know, unfortunately, you get to see where I'm weak a lot of times just through the way I am and the way, what I talk about. But one of my strengths is bringing this message. That's what I do. It's what I'm called to do. I wanted to do a bunch of other things, and God wouldn't let me. I wanted to be president. I've learned that anybody can be that, you know. I know I could have done it, you know. You know, so if you have any aspiration, you know, in anything, if you aspire to do that, go ahead. You know, it can be done. But everyone here has strengths, and let me tell you something. Everyone has weaknesses. There's something I want to share with you, and I encourage you to do. Don't hide your weaknesses. Quit going around and trying to be perfect for everybody. It's okay to say, you know, I can't go into that place because I'd be too tempted to do whatever. And it's okay to say, no, I can't hang around with those people because I have a problem with cussing anyway, and if I hang around people that do that all the time, then I just do it more. Or I need to curb the drinking, and so I can't be with hanging around people who drink and tempt me to do that. It's okay. It's okay to admit you got weaknesses. There's things that I used to be just unwilling to say because I was taught, and it was just, you know, enforced. Never show your weaknesses in front of your people. Pastors don't do that. And I had to go through a lot in my life to finally be broken down to the point where I realized what a lie. It's a bunch of garbage. Because that's why I share with you. I'll share with you where I'm weak, where I fail. Why? Because some of you need to hear that. Well, if God can still use Pastor Tony in spite of what he does, he can use me. And he can. We all have weakness, strengths, and we've got weaknesses. Some of you have a temper that you just wouldn't want any of us to see right here in this room. Don't you? Oh, okay. Thank you, sir. You know, we know about the ones on that side anyway. We expect it over there. So, anybody else really struggle? Seriously, do you struggle with your temper? Anybody else? Oh, okay. You're close to that side. You're all right. Over here, anybody? Anybody? Yeah? You do? You got a temper? You have a temper? You're so quiet and calm and gentle. I couldn't believe it. In here, like we all are. We come in here, who, me? You know? Anybody ever think violent thoughts towards people? Oh, there's one back there. Yeah? Really, seriously. And you ever admit that to anybody? You're admitting it today. We all have these things. We all have stuff. What's the big deal? Jesus died on the cross for people that have stuff. He didn't say, get your act together and straighten up before I'll give my life for you. No, he came and died for us when we didn't deserve it. And what did he say on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. He died for you and me, just like we are. He wants us to be like him and to be willing to grow, be willing to accept some criticism once in a while from the Lord and through his people. But nobody in this room is perfect. Far from it. And no one is totally mature, by the way. For all you wives that have been waiting for that to happen, nobody's totally mature. And there's just something within a lot of us guys, I won't speak for all of us, but I'll speak for myself. There's still there's that boy in there, and he'll come out. And he just is mischievous as he can be. It's by the grace of God that you don't see more of him in here. It really is. I pull tricks. I do things. My sister, she wants to kill me sometimes. That's why she doesn't come see me very often. I hide her purse. I tie strings to her shoes. Anything imaginable, and it's going to happen. And it's like, I don't mean to, but it just comes over me. Does anybody feel like they've been around little boys in their home that's grown men? I mean, any of you guys ever get like that? I go into certain stores. I can go in certain stores and I'm just... Really. I used to do that in Cabela's. Before Bass Pro Shop bought Cabela's. I'd walk in Cabela's and really, my sister... And I'd go see my sister and we'd go to the Cabela's up there and outside of Keller. And she said, you walk in and you're like this. You just suddenly go to this little boy... and they had in that Cabela's, they had this big mountain in there, and it looked like a snow-covered mountain in Alaska, and had all these animals on that mountain. And I would just stand there, and I would be there in the moment, and they'd all walk off. She and her husband would walk away. They could come back 30 minutes later, and I was still there, just mesmerized. See, you're saying, well, it doesn't take much to entertain you, does it, Tony? No, not at all. And I'll be driving along. To this day, I don't know what's wrong with me. It just is there. And just here, just a few days ago, I was driving, just, you know, this is so dangerous. And I saw this beautiful Axis buck standing off out in somebody's pasture. And I'm just standing there. I don't, you know, you're not thinking about cars running over or anything else. It's like, whoa. And then, I got to tell you this, 2 days ago, I was out just walking on the place, and I heard all this honking going, and here came this whole, huge bunch of Canada geese. They're already starting to go north. They were going northwest, and it was the first flock I've seen heading out. But I was just mesmerized, and the sun would hit their wings. They were so beautiful. And I just stood there, wild hog, mountain lion, anything could have come out, just taken me out. I wouldn't even known it was coming. I was so caught up in it. You know, does anybody have little boys in their home? I mean, grown men that are little boys. And by the way, ladies, you're not off the hook. There's little girls in you. And by the way, if there's not, why are you stifling it? And if there's not, have you killed it? God put a certain spark within all of us, and no matter what your outward age, of course we're to be mature. He wants us to grow up in Christ. But he wants you to be able to be excited about a flower, a hummingbird, a flock of geese, some artist's rendition of something. He wants you to be able to be excited about that. And to have some enthusiasm. And if you don't have it, I'm going to ask you, what's wrong with you? Where is it that there's a short circuit here? He put that little girl in you, that little boy in you, not to go out and act stupid, but to enjoy, to be happy. He made this earth. I don't like a lot of the things man has made on the earth he created, but I like what God made. I still am just mesmerized with waterfalls. And when they freeze in the winter, that just, to me, is just a marvel. You ever seen a frozen waterfall? You ever been up in the mountains around 9,000-10,000 feet and just prowled around? And that's hard for me to do now, but I used to do it. And I would sit, I'd find me a rock or something to sit on, and the mountain wind just was blowing in my face, and just sit there for hours. just looking out across miles and miles of mountain country, you know. Had my pack, and when I wanted to eat, I'd eat. I make a bunch of sandwiches. I carry so much in a pack, I used to, that it's like I was on a combat mission, but I like to go up and have fun and eat. Then somebody told me once, said, you still eating those ham and cheese sandwiches like you like the big old thick one? Yeah. You got to remember when you're up there that bears can smell that stuff a long way off, and it's like, never didn't think about that. Listen to me. You've got strengths and you've got weaknesses. No one's totally mature in this room. Nobody. You're just once in a while going to have a moment, and you need to let that little boy and that little girl come out. God put it there. We're talking about human strengths here, human weaknesses. I don't want any misunderstanding, and I'm going to move on so we can close this out. We're not talking about if you're a sociopath or a psychopath here. We're just talking about the things that are just normal people. There's dictators and murderers, and there's those who plot to do harm to other people. They don't fit in this normal category. We're not talking about that. Those are not people to be overlooked or people to be dealt with. We're just talking about people like you and I here and Paul and all the rest of us who have our strengths and weaknesses. And let me say something to you. Focus on your strengths and not so much on your weaknesses. Give them to God and keep going. But if the more you focus on your strengths, the more your weaknesses will be put in place. Do you know that? If you keep telling yourself, I can't eat another bite, I can't eat one more piece of chocolate cake, I'm not going to eat any more chocolate ice cream, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to do that, I just did that. You'll do it. Even on negatives, what you keep putting in your head, you'll do. So put the positive in your mind. Instead of saying, I'm not going to do something, I'm going to go what? I'm going to go for an extra walk. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to focus on where I do good. Secondly, everybody in this room has issues. You liked that one, did you? Okay. Everybody has something. Everybody. Somebody in here has a past. I didn't mean to look at you on purpose. I'm sorry. That just happened. I just looked right over there, and I didn't mean it at all. But, you know, I'll look this way. Some of you have a past. Now, I'm looking over here. I'm sorry. We do, don't we? Some of you have a past, and you don't want any of us to know about that past. Well, we all have a past. There's things in my life, it's like, I can't believe I did that. Why did I do that? I don't know, but I did. We all have it. And everybody here certainly has weaknesses. And is anybody in here flawed? Okay, thank you. You just got flaws? Is anybody in here annoying? Is anybody here getting annoyed by some people? Are you getting annoyed at this message? Okay. We all have flaws. You know, there's things that just bother us. One for me is people, and I don't know why. So I don't want to make you self-conscious when you're around. But when people are eating, and I don't pay much attention until they start smacking their lips. You ever eat with someone and then there's that... About the third time you hear that, you're getting that elbow ready to, you know, and it's like, can I help you in some way? Do you need some Vaseline on those lips or something to grease them up so they don't catch every time you do that? Any rest of you? Another one that bothers me when people have a fork full of food. See, this is nothing wrong with this. This is just, but it's my flaw. I shouldn't let it bother me. And they talk with that fork doing a little, things are flying off of it. It's like, if I wanted to eat off of that, I'll ask you for it. You got those little things and they're just flaws, and people have flaws and they do dumb stuff and we react kind of dumbly to it. You're just thinking of things now, you know, it's just, we're flawed. There's just things. There's things you'll notice about me. You can't help it. You're going to catch all of my stuff up here that I don't even know I'm doing. And if you notice, I wear these Henleys a lot. But one of the things I've become aware of that's a self, it's just one of those things. I wear these long sleeve Henleys, but you'll notice I keep pulling the sleeves up. I catch myself doing this. Why don't you wear a short sleeve shirt? I don't know. It's a flaw. I'm usually cold when I start out, but then as I start, I don't like moving my arms, so I guess I'll buy some of those leather gauntlets and clamp it down with that. But we all have flaws. We have things that we do that irritate others. We just have ways that just people don't understand. And I'm going to say this to you. So what? So did this guy that wrote this. So did Peter. So did every single one of them that had a part in God bringing the scripture about. The only one that never had a flaw was Jesus, but he did have a sense of humor. He had a great sense of humor. A lot of things you read in scripture in the New Testament that he said, we don't get the humor that the Greeks got out of it. That the Hebrews got out of it. And he just spoke in a humor that we don't get it, but he did. There's things that we wish we could take back and do over, is there not? Every single one of us. Well, let me tell you something. You know this, but you need to hear it up here. You can't. You can't. So why do you keep going back there and rehashing it, rehashing it, and rehashing it when you can't take it back? I've never in my life given in and broken except once. 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 But it was a big break. And because of all of it, I just cratered. And most of you heard that story, so I won't go back to it, but that's when I left the ministry. It was my big breaking. I look back on that and say, what all came together to make that happen? I don't know. I've never been able, and I've talked to guys that, tried to help me work through some of that, and it's like, Tony, it just is. Don't go back in your life and try to ask yourself, what was I thinking? And I had one guy that really looked me in the eye, and I was just kind of going, I said, I just could understand. And he said, it wasn't that you were thinking, it was that you were not thinking. You were to the point to where rationale was not there anymore. You just did. And for every one of us, if you look back and you try to figure out why did I do what I did or say what I said that caused so much trouble, maybe you just weren't thinking. Maybe you reached a point to where you just didn't have it anymore. That's when we do dumb things under stress, under the influence, under pressure. And I want to say to you right now, can you, like Paul today, take this message to heart and say, one thing I'm learning to do, he said, I've learned it and I'm doing it, is forgetting that stuff and moving on. Quit reliving it. It took me a long time to quit reliving my mistakes. And I'll tell you one of the reasons. You're looking at a guy here that used to buy into the pastoral thing of, buddy, you better be perfect. And the more you strive to be perfect, the more you fall. I want to be complete. The word perfect in that New Testament said be perfect as God is perfect. When you look that up in the Greek, it means fully mature, whole, and complete, not without fault. Because God knows we can't be without fault. So whatever you've done to yourself or to others, do yourself a favor. Do God a favor. Do Jesus a favor. Do those you love a favor and let it go. Get open with it. Come clean. Y'all were around when I had my big, I just cratered and I felt so horrible later, but I didn't know why. Couldn't explain it. To this day, And it's like, finally, God's come through for me. It's like, Tony, you don't have to explain it. It's part of your testimony now. It's part of your whole life. It made you a different person. It made you a lot more sensitive and caring and understanding of other people's mess-ups. Has anybody here had a major mess-up in their life? Yeah. And there's God saying, forgive them. They don't know what to do. Isn't that fantastic? Forgive them. I forgive you. Some of us have a family heritage that we just have to deal with. You got any kin folks anywhere to ever embarrass you? You ever want to change your name? I'm going to say something to you, and I'm not trying to be harsh. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop blaming others. And stop fighting God. What's the point? Has it gotten you anywhere blaming everybody else? Has it gotten you anywhere blaming God? So why don't you just stop and accept that you are who you are and you've done what you've done and He loves me anyway in spite of myself. Isn't that great? So I just want to say to you, get off your own back. Tell yourself, hey, self, get off my back. Quit feeling condemned, guilty. And don't let anybody else make you feel condemned or guilty. You have a family heritage. Maybe there's anger and temper in your family. Or maybe there's a lust problem. And, you know, that's visited to the other generations. We all know that. It can be anything. Anxiety. Does anybody here deal with anxiety, stress, depression all the time? Anybody? Chronic, yeah, you deal with it? It's all right to say so. We all do. Think I ever get depressed? It's not often, but I do. Just once in a while. Sometimes it's because I can't fix someone. I want really bad. I'll listen to somebody's problem and I'll try to give advice and they just keep doing the same thing, and sometimes I just get down about that. I just can't fix them. And God will let you go so far and say, it's not your place to fix them, it's mine. It's just your place to show them the way to who can fix them. Now I need to wrap this up. I know this is kind of personal and it's kind of twisty a little bit and I don't want to go too far. So how do we move on to happiness and success with all this stuff? First of all, let go of you. Let go of you. Quit beating yourself up. Give yourself a break before God. I want to hit this real quick. I can't stay time. I'll bring another message that involves this part, but I want to say it today. A lot of people come and they say, you know, and we talk about low self-esteem and you don't have any good self-esteem and you got low self-esteem, you don't feel good about yourself, blah, blah, blah. Did you know in a lot of cases, now listen, follow this. In a lot of cases, it's not low self-esteem. You know what it is? It's pride. Because people that say they have, a lot of people, not everybody, that say they have low self-esteem, now bear with me. They're the people who, well, people hurt my feelings. People say this, and you know what I'm saying? And they just such low self-esteem. That you ever been around someone like that? That no matter what you say or do, they get their feelings hurt? Well, who are they focused on? Self. And that's pride. So careful when we say, well, they just have low self-esteem. No, they may have too much carnal pride and ego. Because if you know somebody that you just tiptoe around, don't say that, it'll hurt their feelings. And then, who are they focused on? It's all about me. Don't hurt my feelings. Don't say that in front of me. Oh, I didn't know I was talking to God's right hand. Seriously. A lot of times what we're trying to get sympathy and pity from is nothing but dad-blasted pride. And that needs to go before the Lord. People come to me and they want to, you know, listen to my problems and all that. But sometimes I just have to say to them, your problem is not low self-esteem. Your problem is you're too self-focused. You're so focused on you. It's all about you. They really love that when you say it, but it's true. So let go of your stuff. Let go. Admit you're stuck. You're going to, listen, I made a little note here, and I'm going to close here in just a minute, but you have to become miserable enough where you are. You have to become so miserable that you finally want to change and move forward. That's why a lot of Christians never change. They don't move. They're stuck somewhere. You have to become miserable where you are to change. It's true. And a lot of times we need to say to people, I'm just going to go ahead and let you stay where you are, and you just go ahead and you go ahead and get beat up, and you go ahead and verbally abused or whatever it is until you're so miserable that you're willing to get out of it. And I've had to say that to people who come to me, you know, and they'll say, you know, my husband's doing this to me and that to me. Well, go turn them in. I can't do that. Okay? Then move out. Go live with your sister or somebody for a while. I can't do that. No, it's not that you can't, it's that you won't. So go in there and stay miserable until you've had enough. And then we'll talk on how God will get you out of it. So realize only God can make changes in your life. And I'm going to tell you something. God has to be somewhere become more important than your problem. He's going to have to be more important than your problem, your past, your issues. God's going to have to be made more important than that. So stop making excuses and start living, friends. You say, I want to be happy. How do you do it? Let God be more important than me. If you're going to take offense when somebody uses his name in vain. Not yours. Confess your attitude. Friends, all you got to do as a Christian is face whatever your problem is. Face it. And confess it and repent of it. Do it every day. And let the love of Jesus Christ come into your heart. You can be like Paul here. I haven't obtained everything. And it's okay to say to everybody, I've gotten better about it. I'm not real good at this, but I've gotten better when somebody says, Tony, you're not real good at blah, blah, blah. It's like, nope. I haven't obtained everything. Some people have said, you're not a real great pastor. I've been told that. And it's like, I know. I'm not sure what makes one, but I know I'm not. I don't know that any of us are great anything, are we really? We just do our best. We give it our best shot. I come up here and I give it my best shot with what God's given me to help you, and that's all I can do. I just will share this with you, I don't think I put it in the notes, but I want you to have it here. And this still in this chapter, but the first part of it, Paul says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. You can fill in the blank. But when are you going to let the love of Jesus Christ replace, and you fill in the blank? When am I going to let the love of Jesus replace my temper, my anger, my frustration, my depression? When am I going to let Him be bigger than my problem? And the minute you do, the minute you begin that process is the minute that you begin to experience more joy, more peace, more happiness. And you can look around and you're not seeing life through this filter of junk that's in your life. But you begin to see it as God's creation, even people. You might even get to liking people if you give it a chance. Since I went through what I went through, and I was talking to I got a phone call about this a few days ago and saying, how are you now that you've been through all this? And I said, you know, I'm more sensitive. I'm more attuned to wanting to enjoy life. I went to see the GI doctor there in Kerrville, the one we both know. But he was looking at all my charts from what they did over there. And he said, Tony, do you realize how close you know, he's blunt. He said, how close you came to dying? I said, yeah, they told me it was. He said, real close. He said, you have no idea what I'm looking at here. And he said, if you hadn't been in good health, you wouldn't have made it. That doesn't exactly make you just jump up and down, but he's real blunt. He talks that way. What he was missing, though, was not just good health. It's I have a good God who's not finished with Tony yet. You're still here, aren't you? So you have a good God who's not finished with you. And through all the things, even coming close to going out, but we're not out. He allows those things to deepen us, to make us more caring, more sympathetic, more understanding, more giving, more sharing. When someone calls now and says, I'm hurting, I have this issue, buddy, I'm there. I used to do it from more clinical perspective because I hadn't been in the hospital deal and gone. But once I have, and it's like, he made you a better pastor, didn't he? Yeah. Do I want to go through that to be? No, but I had to, obviously. I guess I wasn't getting it. So begin to look at life from God's perspective, not your own, saying, why me? Why is this happening to me? God has a plan, and God has a purpose, and He wants you to enjoy this dead-gum journey we're on to the very end of the finish line. So get on with it. Christ in me, my hope of glory. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word and the power of it. And just thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ and the love and grace and goodness that Jesus brings. Help us to just get unhooked, unfocused. Get off these issues in ourselves and just get in Christ. And let you lead us and give us the joy and the happiness and the peace and just the thirst for life that you've come to give. That's what you said. I've come to give you life. And give it in abundance. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming here today.